Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of The Living Spirit, Answers for Healing and Infinite Love, which shares stories of spiritual awakening, spiritual communication, healing energies, miracles, and ways to tap into your inner self and your intuition for greater awareness of what you and life really are all about. Today I am delighted to welcome from Australia Andrew Matthews, author of his newest book, How Life Works. For when you understand the universal laws of energy, it is possible to find happiness, health, and prosperity, and a greater love of life. Hello, Andrew, and thank you for joining me today on Healing From Within.
Hi, Cheryl, and nice to be with you.
Andrew, as listeners of the show are so well aware, my guests and I share intimate stories and insights into how to find the truth of both our physical and spiritual worlds so we can utilize the wisdom of our mind, body, and spirit and begin to move past fear, blame, judgment to create a greater state of peace, harmony, balance, and love. In today's episode of Healing From Within, Andrew Matthews, author of a range of self-help books, whose specialty includes life-work balance, embracing change, dealing with disasters, and achieving success, will show you how good you feel is entirely within your own power. You can find work. You can be surrounded by people you love, and you can also find a greater love of this precious gift of life. Andrew, I always love to ask my guests to think back to their childhood, to remember a person, a place, an event, a goal, a value that may have been influential for the development of the adult they were to become and the lifestyle they would value. Because I kind of feel our life plan is with us at the very beginning. So think back.
It was really the experience of, I had a father who always did what he loved in life for a career. And so for the last 25 years of his life, my father was a professional artist. He began life as a butcher, and then he was in the Second World War. And then he was a farmer, and he became an inventor and a real estate developer. And ultimately, he really flourished and prospered as a landscape painter. I grew up believing that your career was what you loved to do, and that the only time you changed career was when you found something that was more exciting. And so that was my core belief. And so I found myself following my heart. I actually wrote a book called Follow Your Heart. But so my belief was that we should do what we loved, and that was how we flourish and prosper.
Well, you see, I was brought up to believe that you stay with it. You could be 40 years in a career, but I've had 8 careers, so I have defied that initial training. But I think what you saw with your father was his risk-taking and his ability to allow his inner intuition to guide him to find different ways of expressing his true inner soul being. And I think that's wonderful. You had a great example. Some of us can find it perhaps in one arena of life or one field, but many of us need to explore ourselves, our interests, the world, and if we're lucky enough to travel. And everything is just another way of knowing more about who we are. And that's ultimately what life is about, to know more about who we are and how to have greater compassion and love. So I think that's great you just said that. But let's go on to why you selected the title, How Life Works, and how you have set up the book so readers may find a way to understand approaches to creating new ways to see themselves and to create what we need and want. In the way you set up the book is very apropos for doing this. So tell us about that.
Okay. Well, the first thing was why the book itself. And I wrote my first book, Being Happy, in 1988, and after a very slow start, it actually became an international bestseller. And I was this guy who everybody thought should be a psychologist to write books on happiness, but I wasn't. But despite that, I think I write books that for people who don't read books. I like to take a very simple and hopefully entertaining approach. And so I've written a series of books about enjoying life and enjoying work. And you know, the thing that had, I suppose, had me curious for the last 30 years was, why is it that some people who aren't necessarily the people who work the hardest, they're not necessarily the best qualified. Why is it that some people just go from one success to another and seem to lead these magical lives, and others who are perhaps very serious and very diligent and very well qualified just seem to struggle? And you know that here's the thing. We grow up with the belief that success will make you happy, and it's a myth. And the reality is that happiness makes you successful. And so the foundation of how life works is that your success depends on how you feel. And when you feel happy and joyous, you become a magnet for people, for opportunity, and for synchronicity, and things just simply work. And so what I set out to do in How Life Works was to firstly make the point that your mission in life is to be joyous. Your foundation for success is happiness. And I set
Absolutely.
out,
Yeah, it's
yeah.
absolutely so. It's not what we do, it's in what we are being or allowing to be from within us to be expressed out into the world, right? And not letting the world determine what it is that we consider success or
Yes.
or how we live our life. And many people have it turned around. They think that what the world will give to them or not give to them, you know, they get into the emotions of blame and anger and negativity because things are not going their way. But really, they haven't gotten their thoughts and their behaviors and their actions in synced with just the joy of being alive and being, you know. So, yes, thank you very much for expressing it that way. Now, your first chapter is entitled When Bad Things Happen. Please tell us why you began the book with this topic and what we can learn from both good and bad experiences. Really, there aren't any good or bad experiences. They're just experiences, and how we perceive them often makes them
Yeah.
one or the other. But tell us about
Yes.
that.
But when we're in the middle of it, sometimes they can seem bad.
Oh, yes.
So, yeah. So I began the story just talking about a fellow who does electrical work on my house, and how he just had one disaster after another. And because one, you know, as it turned out, car crash, and then he got nearly died, and then he lost his house, and so on. But I tell that story because, in a sense, it is something like we can all experience, where we can have bad things happen in waves, and we say, why am I a victim, and why is the universe punishing me? And the fact is, the universe doesn't punish us, but when we feel like a victim, and when we are feeling hopeless, and when we are feeling that life is bad, and that we're not connected with anything, and that there's no help out there, then one disaster seems to happen after another, and it is not it's not anybody's fault, it's not
No,
God's fault,
no.
it's just that we need to start to feel better about ourselves. And so that everyone can identify with going through those times when life looks very bleak and even mean. And so that seemed like a logical start to a book, so everyone can say, yeah, I know that.
Yeah, what we're actually also thinking about here is the law of attraction, which is a universal law of energy. What we think about and pursue will materialize over time. And if we are conscious of our thoughts and actions and behaviors, we can recognize what works better for us and put our attention in that direction. Now, Andrew, you wrote, good things happen when we are feeling good, and bad things happen when we are feeling bad. So it's a continuous, you know, we're putting out that energy and it's just coming back to us. So let's take a look at how the subconscious works and how important beliefs are in making things happen in our lives. Well, I'm not sure if it's beliefs, but our thoughts, perhaps.
Yeah. Well, I told the story actually of my stepdaughter Nicole, who went on vacation to Bali, and she kept telling herself, "Before I go on this vacation, all I want to do is lie down and do nothing." And then she went to Bali, and she got a stomach bug, and she ended up in hospital and couldn't do anything for seven.
I'm sorry that happened, but she got what she asked for.
Yeah, absolutely. And so that was my way of saying that the subconscious is so much more literal than we sometimes believe, very often we can be, you know, telling ourselves, for example, I wish I didn't have to go to work, or I wish I wasn't here. But unless we are actually thinking about something positive that is a substitute for that thing we don't like, then we may just have our subconscious find a way to get us sick or
yes,
you know, which wasn't really what we planned. So our subconscious is driving our life, and the thoughts that we have on a regular basis filter into our subconscious, so we have this if you like, the subconscious is like an iceberg where you know, the part of our mind that is driving our life is that part that we don't see.
Right. Yeah. So the universe is not judging what's good or bad for us. They're just giving us our greatest desires very often, even if it's not good for us, and our greatest fears. So we have to learn how to reprogram our thinking. Now let's go on to children. This is a very interesting topic for me, on children's brains and what is happening, how we are helping our children either develop into healthy, positive, later on adults, or we're harming them. So tell us something about the children and their brain waves and what's happening.
The reason that kids learn so fast is that they don't really have any barriers. They just almost accept everything that they hear or see. And as we become adults, or not even adults, but as we move into about, you know, even five or six, then we develop this ability to filter out things. So we need to be very careful about what we tell young children of, you know, particularly the really young ones of 3, 4, 5 years old, because what we tell them just goes straight into their subconscious. But at the same time, the really young ones don't have any belief systems blocking what they believe is possible. And so we come across children on the ski slopes who learn to ski at 3 years old, and they just stand up and ski because they think that's absolutely what I can do.
And they don't have the fear. They have not been inundated with fear, or this is too hard, or you can't do it, or, you know, they just don't have that programmed into them. Societal programming can slow down a person's greatest talents and abilities. So we suggest to our parents listening of young children, you know, their little souls happen to know a great deal about what's good for them and what they want. And if we say no less often and just allow them to experience, of course, we don't want them to get hurt. So we have to, you know, protect them in certain situations, but we can guide them gently without no being a constant term that they get used to hearing, and plant yes and positive thoughts with them. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think the other thing, Cheryl, is that sometimes as adults we think that because children aren't articulate and because they don't have all the words that we have, that they don't understand. And that is a massive misconception.
Yes.
Because children have a phenomenal ability to comprehend what is happening very often. And they may not be able to articulate it, but they know it and they feel it.
Yes, absolutely. I have known some children who were more articulate in their actions than grown-ups and are picking up the truth more quickly than some of the grown-ups around who have already shut down and blocked off their subconscious. So they're not relating to their inner being, knowledge and wisdom. They're relating to their ego with thoughts and fears and belief systems and societal training and programming and all that. So I think we covered on that, and that's very important for our listeners to know who are dealing with children. Some people want to know why the same things keep happening to them repeatedly. And you started to tell us a little bit about that before. So some people are always broke or late or busy or getting ripped off or dating people who turn out to be problems. So tell us something in a nutshell about that.
Well, once we realize and once we, I mean, all of us have, if we've been even mildly observant, come to accept that there is this thing called the law of attraction, whereby what we think about just seems to unfold. And so once we accept that, then we realize that if we seem to have the same kinds of thoughts, we must by definition keep getting the same kind of things happening to us, which is what happens. And so it is that we know people who you can give them $10,000 this week and next week they need a bank loan to buy a hamburger because they just have this belief that I never have any money. And any subconscious belief that you have will override willpower, will override everything. It doesn't matter if you believe that you are, for example, unworthy of love, then you will find a way to screw up your relationships. No matter how much you tell everybody that I'm ready to find Mr. Right and settle down and be happy ever after, mm-hmm. if you believe you are unworthy, so it comes back to these thoughts that we have on a daily basis about who we are and what we deserve, what is possible, become our core subconscious beliefs.
And reality.
And then
it becomes...
And our reality.
Yeah.
And so our life unfolds accordingly. So then what some people say is it's just the way I am. And it's not the way you are. It's just the program that you have.
Yes.
And so the important thing to understand is that whatever keeps on showing up for you, whether it's poverty or whether it's... unhappy relationships or whether it's even illness, at the point that you start to say, this is not me, this is a pattern I have, it's like, you know, it's not my computer, it's just a program I have, I can change the program, and then you just go about doing the things that change your program, and you do that by things like meditation, by visualizing your successful future, by doing all of the things that start to change your subconscious program, and then your life changes accordingly.
Absolutely. Why did Einstein say insanity?
Oh, insanity is doing the same thing.
That's
expecting a different result.
Well, that's what programming is all about. You're just going to get same result over and over until you recognize and acknowledge your part in what's happening. First of all, you have to take responsibility, and then you have to take consistent action to change how you're behaving so you can create a new pattern. And that was a very wise statement. I think he was also in tune with the universe and the subconscious and you know, creating our own life through thoughts and energy. So we'll go on to when negativity becomes normal for some people, why does that happen? What has happened in their young life, their childhood, which may make that just normal for them? They can't really think past it.
Well, a chunk of that can be if we're surrounded by negative people, and if we're surrounded by people who don't see joy and they don't see possibility, then that becomes our world too. So the firstly, we understand that is really hard. If your parents are negative, and if you're in a job you hate, and if you're living in a neighborhood that is not uplifting, and so on, then you start to believe, well, that is how the whole world is. And then the first step is to understand, well, it's not the whole world, it just happens to be where I am at the moment. But there are people out there that have a totally different reality.
I like that at the
And
moment because in the next moment
yeah.
everything could change. And you know, most of us, I'm going to say most of us grew up with worried parents who taught us to worry. I have so many clients who come to me for Reiki healing sessions and the readings that I do who are loaded with fear and worry, and it's not their own. It was given to them, and it wasn't perhaps even real for their parents or teachers, but it's passed down. It's like something that just keeps coming into our thoughts, just like negative thoughts come in on any given day. Maybe 50% of our thoughts can be worrisome or fearful, but we don't have to engage them, and they don't have to be our truth. That's what we have to learn, to be more discriminating in what we allow ourselves to accept, the energy we embrace, and that which we discard because it doesn't suit us or serve us. You know, recently there were two suicides in the United States. I don't know if you're aware of them. Kate Spade, who was a famous designer, and Anthony Bourdain, both celebrities. Are you?
Yes,
Yeah.
yes.
So,
A Anthony, I know of, yes.
Yeah, and you know, you say in the book, many are suffering from depression, guilt, and fear. And because it's become commonplace in our fast-moving technological society that people want to have everything, and materialism has made such a dent in people's joy and happiness for simpler things. And I think perhaps we have to learn how to accept that which is good for us and be joyful about what we have. And I guess the word gratitude comes in here, a very, very important word for us to think and to find the positive in whatever activity. You say in the book, what's good about confronting rude people? And you actually say, I'm building character and patience. I'm developing people skills, and the rude people at work help me to appreciate other people in my life. So, see, this is the way we can spin or turn around something that's uncomfortable and make it something to work for us. So, I like that very much.
Well, I'm glad you raised that, Cheryl, because one of the points that I make in How Life Works, and also when I do live seminars and things, is this idea that we find what we look for. If you look for good things in your boyfriend or your neighborhood, you find them. If you look for bad things in your job or your boss, you find them. And so we do come across people and situations that are unpleasant. And so the negative person says, well, I'm just being really realistic. There are things in my life that are terrible. But the positive person says, somewhere in there is something that is good, and there is something that is helping me to learn and flourish. And what is that? And so the core difference between happy people and unhappy people is, firstly, gratitude, and we can come back to that. But it is this thing to say, what is good about today? What is good about what's happening right now? What is good about my friend? What do I love about this? In many ways, it's the questions that we ask ourselves.
Yeah, you know, you also give a ladder to climb where you rank emotions from the lowest to the highest. And that's a good way to create better results in our life because we want to realize where we might be at any given moment and where we can be if we start to move ourselves in the right direction. So tell us something about that ladder of emotion, with fear and grief being at the bottom and love and joy being at the top. Where do
Well,
we want to be is the question.
Yes, so the point I'm making there is one of the things we might do is we say, well, how can I be really happy when I'm really fearful and sad at the moment? And obviously, it's a little bit like saying, how can I be traveling at 100 miles an hour when I'm actually going backwards?
Ah,
And
too good.
the fact is, you get to 100 miles an hour by first of all, standing still and then moving at 5 miles an hour, and gradually you increase your speed. So, if you're suffering fear and grief, then even at the point that you start to feel like anger or worry, that is still more positive than going
Yes.
through fear and grief. And then when you're worried, even if you can be a bit pessimistic, that is better than being worried. And then when you're contented, that's going to be better than pessimism. And
Yeah.
then optimism is better than contentment. And then, so the idea is that when people say, I can't be joyous because I'm miserable, well, you might be miserable or you might be grief-stricken, but you can be somewhere that's a little bit better than you are now. And that's life is a like a improved in just little bites, in little stages.
Right. And that's the magic. If you're unattached and accept that your conscious mind only sees a little bit of the picture or plan, that gives you hope. And you can start to connect to everyone and you can be calm and believe in progress. And that's how you climb that beautiful ladder that you gave us, which is a good way to see that it doesn't matter where we are, we always have the chance to make changes that will be better for us. So I want to thank you, Andrew Matthew, author of How Life Works, for sharing an enjoyable, practical set of vignettes that help readers explore the universal laws of energy to know the way to appreciate, love, make choices for successful and healthy living, and to know that we don't have to figure it all out. We are, after all, human. For more information and to purchase this picturesque view of how life works, go to How Life Works on Amazon.com. In summarizing today's episode of Healing from Within, Andrew has shared in amusing and practical ways how we may transcend and transform life and our often unrealistic or unauthentic beliefs of what we may wish to achieve or experience based on the views of society, our friends and family, and learn to experience life from within our own thoughts and energies as we learn the rules of the game and enjoy life more. We can move from knowing that it is not perfection that we need or even can achieve, and that happiness is about self-improvement and celebrated steps of progress. We have also discovered perhaps the reason for having a physical life. Andrew wrote, "Imagine for a moment that you were God and you decided to make some humans. These humans would be like apprentice creators. They don't build universes, but they are fairly handy. They write stories and make music, invent helicopters and iPods, build cities, and also make babies. These humans inhabit a universe that seems solid enough, but on investigation, they discover that the building blocks of the universe are not solid particles, but waves of energy. This energy turns out to be the same stuff as human thoughts. Andrew and I would have you recognize the divine quality of your unique life and thoughts and focus on happiness, which most probably is the aim and end of human existence, as Aristotle said so long ago. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing from Within, and I invite you to visit my website, cherylglick.com, to read about and listen to authors, visionaries, scientists, spiritualists, psychologists, medical practitioners, and all who seek to understand human nature and the flow of life. Shows may also be heard on dreamvision7radio.com and webtalkradio.net. Thank you.